This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
So we had an amazing, we had like small group, times a million, it was great. It was Marie-Ken, and Nikki and I, and we went to the shade of the tree, it was beautiful, and we stayed there for a couple of hours. We were like, we must be back by dinner. Oh, we'll be back, but we were back by dinner, lectures. And we had just amazing conversations about what we feel God's calling us to in terms of the harvest, in terms of who in our sphere He wants us to reach, who He's burning our heart for, who's stirring our heart for, and then we chatted a lot around that. It felt like a chaos, really. It felt like we were just enjoying each other's company, but really we were talking around the topics, and then we were for a while, and then we prayed, and the prayer also took time, and it was so good. And we just prayed into that for each other, that we would each just hear the voice of God in our situations, and we got words for each other, and it was just amazing. After that, I said, okay, ladies, I can go home now. I've had promises, thanks. And it was a particular blessing for me because, I'm always with four for the kids, and I always have so much FOMO when it comes to planting, because I'm always like, everyone's having these awesome sessions, and I'm all changing nappies and running off to another detail, and things. And so I always feel like I'm over there, and then God just downloaded, planted, in one session. That was really cool.
If you can write a sermon, then you'll speak it. Why don't I take this?
So I had Nija and Uzile in my group, and we also had a very good conversation. And some things that came up, first was the agency to evangelize, like to speak out and go out. Like what's need to put in us that agency calls souls that are really getting lost, and what is at stake is very big. We're talking about based on using their identity separated from God, and that is your thing. And we also talked about expectations when we go out and evangelize. That's like what expect God to do. Sometimes we go out and expect people to change their minds right there and then, and if they don't, then we come back with a broken heart, or we think God is not able to change us. But we should learn to wait upon God's time, because we're actually planting a seed, and some seeds might take longer, and some seeds might need to be watered by someone else along the road. So ours is just to share the gospel and wait for God's time, whenever that would be, for the seed to come out and grow. And we did talk about other things as well, like what sin bring us from sharing the gospel, shared of being afraid to lose the relationship, for example, in terms of what would the person think of me once I share the gospel with them. Maybe my personal relationship with them won't be as it is right now, or it might get worse and stuff like that. And on a more practical note, we also talked about just how to really start, like, how to talk to people, and that's really just starting out, because that's the first step, and that's the one I'm most scared of. So it's just a little planning, and then, yeah, we just get there and try to go to whenever and wherever we are. And there's so much more which I can say, but I think that's all. Yeah.
Yes, you ladies were in the kitchen, and they were so fascinating. They were busy with their hands, and they were talking, and with their minds, and they combined everything.
This is the
test of that I can do, if I can really multitask. I think for us, and you took all the notes, but you know, I'll say what I remember. For us, it was about, well, something that I felt was like that if you're full of God, the whole in general, like Renee said, before she went, she prayed, and God showed her that. You know, before you go into the meeting, you pray, and you, you know. It's kind of like being full of it already, and being your mind, having your mind on the things of God, filled with the Word, and the testimonies that I've also heard in the corporate is often like, oh, I went to that meeting with this word for this person, or you know, God showed me. So to be prepared, basically, and I think for me, coming to planted was like, where is my mind at? Like thinking of like, where is my heart at? Where is my mind at? What am I thinking of? What am I talking about? Because we don't often think about that, and that obviously shows where you're at a lot. And then being intentional, being really in and out of season, and then being available and willing. So it's also sort of like, okay, Lord, I'm here, I'm willing, you know, use me, show me, teach me, where you go. And I think as more often you do, the nicer and the easier it becomes. But it's really hard to just, sometimes it's just hard to build momentum, I think. Anything else? Yes. Take our clothes, yes. And for compassion. Because it's sometimes easy to forget where we were at and how we were when we were in the world. Yeah. You know, and then we kind of like, you know, and we kind of, obviously the holiness of God, like we don't want to, but we can't not talk to them because we, you know, we can't or whatever. We, you know, we need to remember where you are. And oh, I also, you know, and this is the freedom that I got, and I remember that salvation, you know, the first love. I was like, okay, that's, I'm living in this freedom that that person needs so much. And just thinking about that as well. Because I think we get too used to it. So,
thanks a lot. I think we learned, can learn something from it, from a multitasking. They can make notes when they're busy with paper. As I went from the one team to the other team, as I was listening, it was for me so awesome to see that after the video clip that Andrew spoke over there, everyone understood. Everyone saw that need. But you've got to talk. You can't keep quiet. You've got to do something. And this evening I'm going to elaborate a little bit on it, its boldness. And as I made a joke after tonight, we maybe had to preach over you boldness. But okay, I'm going to do it. And I'm coming back again to the verse which has been given, Isaiah 55, 10, 11. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there to water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which my purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I send it. And where it starts, the rain came down from heaven. Jesus came down from heaven. God is not in contact with us. It's coming from heaven. And it's water which is coming, which is giving life. And there's something else as well, snow. The beautiful thing of snow, when it melts, it becomes water. It's exactly the same as water. And I actually want to say, it is something which has got potential. Because it's not at the moment what it should be, but it has got potential. And that's for each and every one of us. We may be not water today, maybe we snow today, but we can become water. Something has got to happen, and then there's a chance. We've got to get warm for the gospel. You know, that snow is melted, and then it becomes like water. And do not return there, but water the earth, and bring forth and sprout. I had the privilege of a few times to fly into Cape Town, and if you fly over Stellenbosch areas, and you see all the farms over there, and you see all the little dams over there, then you realize again, water is needed. But the farmers haven't got water, they cannot produce. And it's exactly the same with us. We also need water. The seed needs water if we want to produce anything on the top of the fruit. And then God is saying over there, my word be that goes out of my mouth, it shall not return empty to me. And then God showed me, John 1, verses 1 to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And He was in the beginning with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, which referring to Jesus. And we beheld His glory, for the glory is as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God's Word, Jesus, came to us. And it didn't go back without accomplishing the purpose, because it was sent to make a change on this world. It was sent. The Word of God was sent down from heaven. And it's not going to return empty. Because when Jesus returned, He done everything that the Father told Him to do. He died for our sins. And that's so beautiful that God is sending Jesus down, that He's sending the Word down, and that is fulfilling the purpose. Jesus became Son of Man, and He fulfilled the purpose. And by dying for us, He opened up the heaven for us. And that's something that we actually need each and every day, with assurance that we can tell it to somebody else, the boldness of what Jesus has done for us. It's sometimes very difficult to explain to a person that Jesus died for our sins. And it sounds really like an American type of a movie that somebody died for the other and yeah. But if you really understand it and if you can explain to somebody, as what Renee told this morning as well, if you can explain the gospel and you can say that God loves the world and He sent His Son, then they understand it. Then it becomes something, the gospel, that you can share with somebody, that you need the boldness for them. Somebody also needs the boldness for Cecilia. And I'm going to read a part now, and it's actually quite long, Ezekiel 2 and 3. But the importance of it is that God is speaking to Ezekiel. But if you don't want to read it, just close your eyes and listen to it. God is speaking to us exactly the same way. Nothing different. What he said to Ezekiel is applicable for us today exactly the same. And he, God said to me, Son of man, stand on your feet and I will speak to you. And then the Spirit entered me and he spoke to me. And set me on my feet. And I heard him who spoke to me. And he said to me, Son of man, I'm sending you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. You can fill in. You can write in there Germany. You can write in there United Kingdom. You can write in there the Netherlands. A rebellious nation rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. For they are impudent and stubborn children. And some of us can associate with that. We can say, yes, we were all stubborn, awful stubborn, before we accepted Jesus as our Savior. And I'm sending you to them, and you shall say to them, thus says the Lord God, as for them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are a rebellious house, yet they will know that the prophet has been among them. And you, Son of Man, do not be afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words. Through ears and thorns are with you, and you will dwell, and you dwell among scorpions. Do not be afraid of their words or dismayed by their looks, though they are a rebellious house. You shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are rebellious. But you, Son of Man, hear what I say to you. Do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give to you. Now when I looked up, there was a hand stretched out to me, and behold, the scroll of the book was in it. Then he spread it before me, and there was written on the inside and on the outside, written on it, with lamentations and mourning and woe. Moreover, he said to me, Son of man, eat what you find, eat this scroll, and go, speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that scroll. And he said to me, Son of man, keep your belly, and fill your stomach with the scroll that I gave you. So I ate, and I was in my mouth like honey and sweetness. And then he said to me, Son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak with my words to them. For you are not sent to people of unfamiliar speech or of a hard language. Although some people who come in the Netherlands, they will say it's a difficult language. Whose words you cannot understand, surely I sent you to them that you would have, that they would have listened to you. But the house of Israel would not listen to you, because they will not listen to me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and are hard-hearted. Behold, I've made your face strong against their faces, and your forehead strong against their foreheads. Like adamant stone, harder than flint, I've made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them, nor be dismayed at their look, though they are a rebellious house. Moreover, he said to me, Son of man, receive into your heart all my words that I speak to you, and hear your ears. And go, get to the captives, to the children of your people, and speak to them, and tell them, thus says the Lord God, whether they hear or whether they refuse. You can also confirm that. It's happening quite often on a Thursday evening when we speak to people. And then you explain the gospel to them, and we want to start speaking to them, that they basically would like to wipe you off the earth and say they're not interested, they do not want to speak to you. And I want to give you that message this afternoon as well, or even if somebody says no to you, you're not saying no to him, you're saying no to Jesus. You are 100% with it. It's the same as if you're selling a product from a company. They're not selling the same no to you as a representative, they're saying no to the product of the company. And that's something which makes it easier to bring the gospel, to speak to somebody else. And they're all going to accept it, and some of them are not going to accept it. Of those where your heart has been stirred for this afternoon, when you're going to speak to them, you're going to find two different groups. The one group is going to say, yes, I want to hear more, tell me more. The other will say, no, I'm not interested. But it doesn't matter. It could be four, it could be five times that a person has got to hear that message that God loves them. And then they're going to make that switch. And you might be number three and you might be number four. But carry on. Do not worry about it. So, continuously sow. If the seed is going to come up, if there's going to be fruit, it's not that you could invite to this tree. Truth can come out of this. And it's so beautiful, as God is speaking to Ezekiel over there, you're going to go to people who are going to accept you. You're going to speak to people who are going to reject you. But then he also says that beforehand, his heart is flat. So if they say no to you, or if they say another word to you, it's just bounced off your forehead. It's not going to have any effect for you on you. And I told them, Lord, gave it to me that we could just make that, like you said, we could understand it. And we could have it in our package that we are aware of it. People are going to say no to us. People are going to say no to the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to be aware of it. And our boldness, when we're going to share the gospel, is not going to be ours. Because if we've got a boldness, then we've got an assurance. Again, if you're in a business and if you're selling a product, then you need that product, because otherwise you cannot sell it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same with what we've got as well with the gospel. We believe in it. We know exactly what the content of it. We experienced it. And then it's so much easier to explain it to the other people because they can see it, they can hear it, they can smell it, they can taste it. The God is in you and you're sharing it. John and Peter, they knew the lame man at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. And then Peter said to the lame man, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And then they were called in, because they were arrested, and then they were called in, and they were asked a question. And when they accepted them in the midst, they asked them, for what power, John and Peter, for what power, for their what name have you done this? And then they replied. And Peter said, let it be known to you and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him, by Jesus Christ, this man stands here before you, whole. So they could testify about it. They got the opportunity. You're also going to get that question. Somebody is going to ask you, why are you going to church? It's an open door.
Yeah.
The door is open. Not if 10% or 20%. 100% open. And you can testify and you can share what God is doing in your life. But then there was a reply from you, from the rulers and the elders and the scribes. Now when they, that's now the rulers, the elders and the scribes, saw the boldness of Peter and John, because they could speak with boldness, they could talk about it because it was so easy, it was part of their life. It just not happened, that miracle out there. And perceived that they were uneducated, untrained men. They were not untrained. They were not untrained. They were training for 3 years. They're the best teaching you can find in the world. They're the best teaching you can find in heaven and earth with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
They marveled. And then that's the beautiful thing. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. That was the crux of the story. That's why they had the boldness. Because they've been with Jesus. And that gave them the boldness. We can have Jesus as well. We can have a spirit. We can have the boldness as well. We can also stand up. We can also share with a difficult colleague, with that neighbor of yours, with the one who's studying along with you. We can testify over there. And then a word of the explanation of the boldness as well is parousia. In a Greek word, it's that. You've got a frankness, you've got a blankness, you've got a publicity. You're confident and you're free and you're open. Nothing's holding you back. You share because you've been pressed on the body and then you share. And we've got to start somewhere with bringing the gospel to somebody else. And we can do it different ways. We can have a whole strategic plan and we can say, okay, I'm going to start in my smaller area, I'm going to anoint the room, I'm going to anoint the house, I'm going to anoint the street, I'm going to anoint the place where I'm working. And I can proclaim, and I can declare, and I can claim, and you can make a whole type of strategy. But it's something different. It's not as simple to make a plan. You've got to do a different thing. You've got to make a mind shift. You've got to change up there. Because it's very easy to make a strategic plan. That I can help you with. I'm very good at it. I will make you a plan for whatever you want to do. If you've got to believe in it, your all starts in your mind. Because if you do not believe in it, if it is not in your mind, then you cannot put it into action. It's very difficult, because then you're just going to duplicate that, or you're going to grab a certain book and it says, oh, this way of evangelizing works, and this way of evangelizing works. I've done quite a few experiments of evangelizing. And what it is all about is, and you want to say, it's talk to the person. Show interest in the person. We've got to be the soul in this world. And soul, we can use it as an abbreviation as well. We've got to start a conversation with the person. We've got to ask them a question. We've got to listen to them. And then we tell our story. We've got to be the soul in the world. This soul is, S-A-L-T, is used by, I think it is every nation using it in America for evangelizing and for students. But it helped me as well. Just to realize it, you start a conversation, then you ask questions. You show an interest in the other person. And as you're showing an interest in the person is going to speak back to you. And that is where you buy the time. Because you're listening continuously. But then you also get an opportunity. You can tell your story. Now you must probably say, oh, but I haven't got my story ready. I don't know what to say. You always should have the testimony ready. If you've read the book of Walking with Jesus, it's part of it where you've got to write your own testimony in 2 or 3 minutes. Your life before, what happened, and your life after. That you've got it ready. With your testimony, they can't do anything. They can't change it. They can't say, no, that's not true. You can have a statistic that you heard on the radio or from TV or from Google or anything like that, and they can say, no, they doubt if that's correct or not. But if you say, that happened to me, they cannot take that away. That's the truth. And you've got to believe. There was a guy who also believed. It was a blind man. When they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, with Jesus then, and a great multitude, a blind man, Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road and was begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry and said, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all more, son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called him. They called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer. Arise, he's calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do? And then the blind man said, Rabboni, that I may have sight. And then Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received sight and followed Jesus on the road. This guy only heard about Jesus. He didn't see Jesus. He only heard about Jesus. We also got to believe that we can be doing certain things. We haven't seen it yet. But we heard about it, that we can do it. We heard about it. We reacted to it. We heard about Jesus, or who Jesus was. And then he screamed out to Jesus. And Jesus reacted. And then we believe it can be done. Why do we believe that it could be done? Because he threw away his garment. His garment would show that he was a blind man. He threw it away. He wasn't healed yet. But he believed it can be done. So he threw his garment away and he stood up. They took him to Jesus and he had sight. And he followed Jesus. Jesus was his leader. Jesus was his example from that day onwards. That guy believed. And he stood up and put down his palm. He believed things are going to happen. He hasn't seen Jesus yet. Never seen Jesus before. He only heard about it. And so we also got to believe that although we're not going to see it yet, maybe we're not seeing miracles directly happening, we've got to believe in it. And we've got to position ourselves as a representative of God in this world. Sometimes I'm comparing it, sorry I'm being in some soccer. If you walk onto the field, and if you're not positioning yourself in the right place, you're not going to be much of a help for that team. If you're supposed to play forward, and you're going to suddenly stand next to the goalie, he's going to be a little bit angry with you. He's going to say, come, go, we've got to position ourselves. And we can only position ourselves if we know what God wants us to do. And it's so beautiful that you people spoke to each other this afternoon. You spoke about it. What is it, what you see, what is needed in the area around you? And then you also spoke about it. How are you going to do something about it? And then you come and then you go to God and say, God, what do you want us that we should do to those people around us? You position yourself. You're at the right place. The other one we've got is neutral without the Spirit. I've got respect for Peter. He was a fisherman. 50 years ago, with Jesus. Jesus was his example. But when he was filled with the Holy Spirit, nothing was going to stop him. Jerusalem was full of foreign people, if I can put it that way, from all over around the Mediterranean over there. He was bold enough to talk over there, to speak. Not because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he knew this is God's time. They've been praying there for 10 days. 40 days before that, Jesus ascended to heaven and they saw Jesus on and off. And in that 10 days that they've been praying, they created such an expectation when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they went off. And this is what we've got to do as well. We've got to pray. We've got to seek God and we've got to ask Him, what do you want us to do? When must we get involved? Where must we be busy? I want to conclude. If we take an ambassador is going on behalf of a country to another country. But he can only be an ambassador if he's a citizen of that country. And we are exactly the same. We can only go to the unbeliever and represent God's kingdom if we are a member of God's kingdom, if we are a citizen of God's kingdom. And then we can represent God when He wants us. We want, and God is going to place us like an ambassador as well. The country is deciding where the ambassador is going to be positioned, what he's got to do and what he's got to say, and how long he's going to stay there. We are exactly the same. If we listen to the Father, He's going to place you at a certain place. And then you can ask, Father, what do you want me to do? Did you place me over there? How long am I going to be over there? Maybe God's going to give you a 3 or 5 year plan, maybe only 1 or 2 days, a week, a year, I don't know. But we are like an ambassador, and this is how we put the act as well, as an ambassador. Sometimes not that easy. You know, we experience it on a regular basis as well on the Thursday evening. But there's also something which is actually in the weeks in 12 to 13 minutes talking about the joy. And Anuk is mentioning it in the video clip as well. There's nothing more joyful if you have a good conversation and if you could share the gospel. There's nothing more which is giving more energy than that. There's nothing more which is more fulfilling than you can tell somebody else who God is through you. Because you can, yeah, but you actually can water that plant. He's needing water because at that moment. We had on Thursday evening, we had 2 people where we spoke to the first one was actually very interesting, that the guy knew everything about Christianity. That he wanted to keep a distance because he knew there was going to be some kind of commitment with his commitment. So he kept the same distance. He didn't want to have any gospel without to get to him. He said if he wants to read something, he can look it up and all that. The final end, I gave him a card of the church and I wrote on it Psalm 159. I said, go and read it. Go and read it and read what God is saying to you, who you are in God's eyes. But pray beforehand. Don't ask the Father. He's going to show you that he's going to reveal it to you. And then if you walk away from such a person, that you always walk to, then there's such a joy that you've got. Then you're actually looking for the next person whom you can speak. And you're waiting for the Holy Spirit to show you. And then the next person was a guy who was following the Islam. But he had a very good conversation with him. And at a certain time, I asked him if I could pray for him. He didn't want that he should pray for him. But he was impressed with us. He greeted him twice before we left. And I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you that I could show something to somebody else of whom you are in my life. Luke 11, verses 28. But he says, blessed, happy, and to be unwise, rather than those who hear the word of God and obey it and practice it. We've got to put it in practice, the word of God. The big thing to hear is not helping us anything. And we've seen it in a video clip as well. You can do a lot of things about it, but you've got to go and tell the other people. And the mission statement from Shabbat as well. You've got to tell it. It's the same as a ring. Now, the ladies, you've got a ring and you've got an engagement with a little bit of a diamond on it. What value has it if you're going to be when you draw next to the nobody's going to see it. Nobody's going to see the value of it. But most of the ladies are taking it and putting it on and showing it. And if people want to ask a question about it, they're proud about it, they speak about it. And so it has to be the gospel as well. It has to be that way to win with a big diamond that we've got continuously with us. It has such a lot of value that you're hiding it away in our bed, covered next to our bed. But we've got it, and you're not afraid of showing it and telling it to other people. The last one, I'm not quite sure if I'm going to, yes. John Piper at a certain time said, go, send, or disobey. And I'm going to be a little bit bold, I'm going to disagree with you. I'm going to say, go or disobey. Go or disobey. Because what did Jesus tell? He said, go and tell. He didn't say, go and work and earn a lot of money that you can send 500 evangelists all over the world. And he didn't say to the disciples, okay, you are alone now, two of you are going to remain back for the admin, one for the logistics, and then the other one is going to evangelize. No. He spoke to all of them. He said to all of them, go. And it's applicable for us as well. There's nothing more fulfilling than to share the gospel with somebody who haven't never heard it before, but they've been able to share this morning as well. We want to go as next time. We want to go as next time. You started thinking about it this afternoon. Of whom around you is hearing the gospel. And some of you must probably make plans as well. What are you going to do on Monday or on Tuesday? Are you going to pray or are you going to anoint the desk of the person? Or are you going to anoint the door of your neighbor? Don't put too much all over it because I'm going to slip. But you must probably make the time of the plan. And that's actually what it is all about. If you can start the same as button is, not only hearing, but putting something in practice and starting with it. We've got to start being bold. We can be bold because we're not going alone. We are spiritual. the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and that's how we can share it and give it to other people. I felt that the Holy Spirit was saying to me, if you're going to finish off this evening, you're actually in depression. The depression is Jesus made to Bartimaeus. He said, come. And Bartimaeus reacted. But what did Bartimaeus do? He took off his garment. And Jesus is telling us this evening, come. I've got a plan for you. You've got to take off the garment under you. And you've got to put on the garment of boldness. And before I'm going to ask if we're going to sing a song that each and every one of us making the decision this evening. Are you going to keep that garment, that oath around you, that is for you? And say, no, it's not for me, no, it's not for me, I can't do it. Or are you going to say, Bartimaeus hasn't seen Jesus yet, but he believed, and he stood up, took off his garment, and went. I'm going to ask this in the one if they're going to come forward over here. But we're going to anoint you. You've got to make a decision this evening. You've got to make it step forward. You've got to stand up. That's what Bartimaeus is going to stand up. Take off that coat of disbelief and put on that coat of boldness. And say, Lord, here I am. I'm your ambassador. What do you want me to do? Communicate with God. We've been saying it and communicating with God. If God can speak to us, then we can be used. But that's why you are on this earth. That we can be bold. So you know, if I may put our front and people, it's only one before you're going to stop and say, but I really would like to that all of us are going to make a decision. And if you feel it's not for you this evening, that you do not want to take that coat of disbelief, you don't want to take it off at the moment, and you don't want to put on the coat of boldness, then I hope that the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you at another time. We've got to make a decision. We want to be bold on that. And it's a decision we've got to make in our minds that we can be used for God's glory.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.